Last week we learned, last time we learned Chulin, we learned Daf Zayin Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, with the whole story about Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer, that he was traveling to do a Dvar Mitzvah, and he crossed over a river, and the river split, a miracle, the river split, and he had the Arab also, the river split to the Arab, his Kachaisim Lebnei Leviyah, the guy who was traveling with him also, enjoyed the Nes. And then Rabbi Yudah Nasi met him, and he ran over to him, and he said he'd like to invite him to eat by his home, so he said, I'd be thrilled to. And this Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer never ate by anybody, the Gemara says. Even as a child, the Gemara says on the last line on the Omid, as a child, he stopped eating by his parents. He never wanted to eat by anybody. Strange. So Pinchas Ben Yoyer said, I'd be happy to eat by you. So he sees Rabbi Yudah Nasi has such a big smile. So he says, what are you so surprised about? What do you think? I never eat by anybody. He didn't eat by his own parents. He said, what do you think? I never eat by anybody. I don't want to eat by people because sometimes they want to invite me and they can't really afford it. And sometimes they don't really want to invite me. They're embarrassed into inviting me. So I don't want to eat by them. But you, I know you can afford it. And you really want this. I'd be thrilled to eat by you. But what can I do? I'm busy. I'm running to do Pinyashwin. When I come back, I'll come visit by you and I'll eat by you. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi said, for real, he's going to come and eat by him. So then when he came on his way back, so he went to visit Rabbi Yudah Nasi, and he was just looking for a teretz, to figure out a teretz, why he's not going to eat by him. So he found that he had mules there. Oh, he said, how can I eat by you? You have the mules, and the mules kick people and it makes a hezek. You're not allowed to have mules and how can I eat by you? You have the malach hamavos there. You're not allowed to eat by him. So he says, should I kill him? Not allowed to kill him, not allowed to let him free, not allowed to sell him to a goy. So he drayed his way out of it. He didn't eat. Pinchas Ben Yoyer didn't eat by him. So the Gemara says, look, his position, his attitude was from the time he was a little child, he didn't want to eat by his own parents, he wanted to be independent. The Gemara says in another place, Harotza Lehanas, the different Talmid HaChacham had different attitudes. The Pasuk says in Tanakh, in Malachim, that Elisha used to travel around and he used to eat by people. Elisha ate by the Isha Shunamis and so on. So a Rava wants to have such anhaga that when people invite him, Balabatim want to invite the rabbi over, so you can have the anhaga like Elisha. In Shmuel Anavi, the Pasuk sounds like it says, that's how the Gemara has a tradition. Pasuk says wherever he went, he took along his own food. He always brought his own food. He never wanted to eat by anybody else. So Harotz of Shalali Hanas, Shmuel is also good. Each hanhaga is good. Over here, this last line, the last two lines on the daf, it says, "Omer Olav Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer, miyomav leibotzal prusa sheinu shaloi." He never ate by anybody else. He didn't want to eat from anybody else's money. Miyom shomer al daita as a child, when he realized that his parents are paying for his meals, leinenu misurasav. He didn't want to eat by his parents. He paid for his food in his parents' home. So they have a tiny, what? Zayin Amud Beis, Chulin. Zayin Chulin, Talmud Bavli. Zayin Amud Beis, last two lines. So they have a tiny letter in brackets there, and you look in the Rambam quotes this. Amidas, he says, Amidas Chasidus, some have such Amidas Chasidus that they don't want to eat by anybody. The Rambam quotes such a, and the Gemara says, Harotza Lehanis, Yehonik Elisha, Harotza Shalal Lehanis, Pinchas Ben Yoyer was like Shmuel. That was his hanhag. Didn't want to eat by anybody else. So the Gemara says, look how great Rav Pinchas Ben Yoyer was, that his position was as from a childhood on, he never wanted to be nana by anybody else. Whenever someone pressured him that he should eat by them, he always drayed his way out and he always had a good teretz. Here Rav Yudah Nasi wanted him to eat by him and he thought he got him. And then he drayed his way out because of the mules. That the Gemara says, Gedolim Tzadikim, the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe, Bocher Rebbe, the Amar Rebbe cried, and he said, and that's in the middle of the Omer, Ma B'chayim Kach, look, during his lifetime in Hashemayim, they see to it that he's able to continue his Hanhog and not to eat by anybody. B'misasam Alachas Kama V'kama, after he's going to die, he'll even be greater, because we have a tradition, the tzaddikim After they die, they're even on a higher level than during their lifetime. Where do you see they're greater? So the Gemara told the story. I think we started. I don't remember how far we got. We finished the race. The Gemara told about Elisha. Elisha, during his lifetime, he met all kinds of people, and people shook his hands. Sadiqim, Rishoyim, Beinanim, all kinds of people. Nobody died, and nothing ever happened to anybody. He spoke with a lot of people. And after Elisha was dead and buried, so the Pasuk says in Sefer Melochim that they were burying someone. Some person had died. And the person was not such a gewaldige tzaddik. And then the Chevra Kadisha, who had taken care of the funeral to bury the mace, got frightened, because the Pasuk says that a whole bunch of soldiers from an enemy army appeared right near the cemetery. So the Chevra Kadisha dropped the mace and they ran away. And this mace didn't deserve to be buried next to Elisha HaNavi, because the din is Ein Kovin and Tzadik Eitzel Rasha. Elisha HaNavi was a tzadik, and this fellow was nothing special. So the fellow fell into the, when the body fell into the grave, so the fellow had a Tchias HaMeis. So the, in order not to be buried next to the tzadik, it shouldn't be a violation of the din if Ein Kovin and Tzadik Eitzel Rasha. So that indicates the Gedolim Tzadikim and Misasam. So then the Gemara went on to have a whole discussion. Is that the reason why? Because it shouldn't be a violation of that din. That's why. Maybe it's for a different reason. That when Eliyahu HaNavi was about to go up into the fiery chariot into heaven, he went to heaven alive. He never died, the Pasuk says. So Elisha HaNavi requested of him. Eliyahu HaNavi said, ask a request and it may be granted. So Elisha HaNavi made a request of his Rebbe, Eliyahu HaNavi, could I have twice the Koach HaNavua that you have? Very strange request. They wanted to have Pishnayim Beruchacha, twice the Koach HaNavua. The conservatives used to have a Gantz of Ad Halacha. They used to have a Rabbonim, a Post, and now everything is a joke. Years ago it was a joke, but it was a little covered up. It was not as big a joke as it is today. So their big spokesman used to be a Rabbi Gordis. His grandson writes now, Dvar Mitalev. Oh, his son? Oh, I thought it was an Enikel. Oh, so I remember years ago, so the father used to write that really the din was that the Bchor doesn't get the double portion. The Bchor gets Pishnayim. Pishnayim means two-thirds. But the rabbis felt that's not fair. Let's say a person has 10 sons, and the Bchor gets two-thirds of the whole Yerusha, and then the other 9 sons have to, a man has 10 sons, Bchor gets two-thirds, and then the other 9 have to divide into 9 portions, one-third. That's not fair. So they changed the din, and they reinterpreted that Pishnai means as if he were 2 children. So if the man dies and he leaves 10 sons, he treated as if he had 11 sons, and the Bchor gets 2 elevenths. Not that he gets two-thirds. How does he know that Pishnai really means two-thirds? Because when Elisha HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi said, "What? Make a wish, and the wish will be granted." So he made a request: "Can I have Pishnayim Beruchacha?" What does it mean, Pishnayim? He's asking twice the Koach HaNevuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. That's a chutzpah. How can it be? No, you see, the Pishnayim means two-thirds. He's asking two-thirds the Koach HaNevuah of Eliyahu HaNavi, and that was granted. No, the Gemara understands Pishnayim Beruchacha means twice the Koach HaNevuah. That Eliyahu HaNavi was on Mechaya 1 mace, and Elisha HaNavi was Mechaya 2 mace. One was the Ben Huisha Shunamis, he was Mechaya, and who was the other mace that he was Mechaya? So the Gemara has the two pshatim. So one pshat, this guy, this person who was by mistake buried right next to him, so he walked away, and he lived on for another couple of years. That was the Tchias HaMeis. So if it was to fulfill the Haptocha that Eliyahu HaNavi gave him, the Brocha that Eliyahu HaNavi gave, he'll get Pishnayim. So then, how do you see Gdolim Tzadikim and Misasim Yosim and Bechayim? It's because of the Bracha Eliyahu HaNavi. So the Gemara says that's a question. Because one tradition has it that the fellow didn't live so far. How the Gemara has? Well, Yochum al Raglov, he just walked away and then he dropped dead. He dropped dead 2 feet away. The Rasha had a Tchias HaMeis, and he walked away. And when he was in the section of the cemetery where the non-observant put berries, and then he dropped dead. And they buried him over there. So it was in this chus of Elisha HaNavi, Gedolim Tzadikim and Misasim Yosim and Bechayim. So the Gemara says, if he didn't live on for years, so when was the Haftacha of Eliyahu HaNavi fulfilled? Who was the other Mesa? So the Gemara says, Shiripe Tzaras Namon. Because we have a pasuk that says, when Miriam developed Negat Tzaras, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalo, Altehino Kameis. Let my sister Miriam not be like a mace. So you see from that pasuk that shkula tzaras is shkula keme. A person has a negative tzaras is like he's dead. Is considered like he's dead. So because Elisha Novi was merape the tzaras of Naaman, Sartzavoa Melach Moyov, whoever it was over there, the historian Tanakh said maybe that was the second mace that he was, the second mace that he was mechayev. The Gemara has a din based on us. Altino kameis, the mitzvah hukish lemeis. The din is that a mace is metami ba'ohel. A mace is metami not only, let's say, a dead shear. In today's Sedra, in Parashat Shmini, it says, there is shmeinu shuatzim hamur matar. Eight rodents are listed off. Chole v'achba batzov lemeineu. So the shmeinu shuatzim are metami b'mago. If you touch it. If you're wearing gloves and you touch it, and you move it, that's called masa. So the shmeinu shuatzim not metami b'masa. A nivlas behema, let's say meat in the AMP that was never geshochten, that's nevela. That's not shmona shotzim, that's nevela. So nevela is metami b'mago u'b'masa. So even though it's wrapped up, and when you pick it up, there is no maga because you're not touching it directly. There's a chatzitza if you're wearing gloves. You don't have to wear gloves. The nevela is wrapped up in a package, so there's no maga. But that's masa. If you pick it up and you move it like this, that's masa. But it's not metami ba'ohel. Nivlas behema is not metami ba'ohel. And an odam, a dead human being, is not only metami b'mago or b'masa, it's even metami b'ohel if you're in the same room. So the Mishnahs have it in that a mitzvah is also metame. The Mishnah's lashon is not, instead of saying like a mace is metami b'ohel, so it says a mitzvah is metami b'bia if he walks into the room. If I walk into the room where the mitzvah is and the mitzvah walks into the room where I am, so it's metami b'bia. Why'd they change? And the reason why is because mitzvah is kishle mace. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Altino kame." We don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu said that lashon. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu write the lashon in the Chumash. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu said something, it doesn't make halacha. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam dictates to Moshe Rabbeinu what to write in the Chumash. Whenever it has quotations from people, that's what the Ramban Chumash writes. Whenever it has a quotation, what someone said, Para said, and Yosef said, and Moshe Rabbeinu gezupt, and this was said, that one said, is that necessary?
Was the Naaman a guy?
Yeah, he was a guy.
So there's Tumas Tzaras by a guy as well?
No, not Tumas Tzaras, but Negat Tzaras, he was suffering.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. No, it's not Tumas Tzaras. No, but here, Miriam. So Moshe Rabbeinu is Mispal Atino Kameis, because one who has a Negat Tzaras is Iskish Lameis when he gets the Tumah as well. The Rebbeinu Shlom told Moshe Rabbeinu, write this Nusach in Chumash that that's what you said in your Tefillah. It's not necessarily verbatim what he said. The Rebbeinu Shlom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu write that to teach the halacha. So the Menachas Chinuch has a comment. Why does the Loshen HaMishnah say a mitzvah is matami bibia when he walks into the? Why did they say mitzvah is matami ba'ohel like a mace is matami ba'ohel? So he says because the dinim are not exactly the same. Take for example, let's say if there's a mace in that room and we're sitting in this room, it's clearly a different room. You have a mezuzah, you have doors. But if the door is open, if there's a window that's open, al-tefach, so the tumah goes from one room to the other. If the mitzvah is on one side of the mechitza in shul, the mitzvah wants to go to shul. So if the mitzvah is on, in the women's section, let's say in the weekdays, so the women don't come to shul. So the Mishnah has in Maseches Nagoyim like that. The mitzvah comes to shul. He sits in the women's section. There's a mechitza that doesn't go up to the ceiling. Mechitza goes 6 feet tall, whatever. And then everybody else on the other side of the mechitza is not mitame because it's two different rooms. Even though there's an opening on top of the mechitza, there's an opening. If it would have been a mace is metami ba'ohel. That is ohel, but that's not called a mitzvah. Is not metami ba'ohel. It's only metami bibiyah. Then there's another din. The mitzvah is only metami if the mitzvah is standing still. So the Mishnah has it. The mitzvah wants to go to shul, so there are already people sitting in the shul. So he should walk quickly. He shouldn't stop in the men's section. He should walk while he's walking. Is not metami ba'ohel. Then he should go to the women's section. On the other side of the mechitza, a different room, and then he can sit down. Once he sits down in the other room, even though the rooms are open into each other, so the tumah will not pass through. The mitzvah is only mitame be'oihel when he's b'moishav, when he's standing still, or when he's sitting down. If he while he's walking, is not mitame boil. Only when he's standing still. So the Mishnais have these chilukim. So the Menachas Chinuch claims that that's the reason why the loshen is slightly different. He'd say mitzvah is matame bibiya when he comes into that. You don't say he's matame boil because it's not exactly 100% the same as a mace. Not exactly the same.
A pinchas ben yoy. question.
No kashrus question. I don't know what the Gemara has like that. That Shmuel Anavi had that hanhage.
Yeah.
Didn't want to be nana. We say all the time in the benching.
That's what he said. He
right. And other rabbanim have the hanhaga like Elisha. People invite me to the homes. I eat by other people. And Shmuel Anavi had this hanhaga that Elisha, what's his name? Pinchas Ben Yair had this hanhaga. He didn't want to have matan spasa. He didn't want to have directly everything for Nirbana Shalom.
What does this have to do with Koch and Nevuah?
What is what
he
happened?
What
is it with Tchias Hamesim? I don't know. Apparently, the Tchias Hamesim was Aidei Tfilo. The Ben Ashenam is because he davened, and Saras Naman was also he davened. So that Novi has a better success in davening than a plain person. The Gemara has like that, that the Tchias Hamesim was Aidei Tfilo. So then the Gemara has a comment. Why didn't Pinchas Ben Yori want to go into the home of Rabbi Yudah Nasi when on his way back from the Pinyan Shvuim? Because he saw the mules were there. And the mules are dangerous animals that they can kick people and kill them. So the Gemara says, in Tanakh they're called Yemim. Humatzos HaYemim. So the Gemara quotes a comment about 15 lines from the bottom. Om Rabbi Shua ben Pincha, Om Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Lama Nikrashmam Yemim. And Chumash there, the mules are referred to as Yemim. It comes from the word Amos, Amos, Mutalis Alabrius. People are very petrified. They're very afraid of mules. Why are they afraid? The Amar Abchanina, the Tanar Abchanina says, Meyomai, all of my lifetime, Lo Shalali Odom Al Makas Preda Levona. If it's a white mule and it kicks someone, so the guy's for sure going to die. I never heard that a person was kicked by a white mule and he survived. Frank Digmar, it's absolutely 100% not true. V'kochazina Dechaye. We see that the people do survive. What does he say? A statement that's just not true. Not. No one ever asked me. They used to ask Rab Chanina and Bedoy, so he should be mispal for different people. So he says, they never asked me to be mispal for someone who was kicked by a white mule and the guy survived. It never happened, never survived. Gemara says, not true, they do survive. Gemara says, no. And for the Gemara, Ema Zogazoy Vichayos, the Makkah never healed. The guy said, the man survived. But the Makkah was, for the rest of his life, he had a Makkah. It's also not true. We see that the wound does heal. Not only the person survives, the wound that the mule kicked him will get better. The whole thing will get better. Everything more? No, he's only talking. When Rab Chanina ben Doisa, the tzaddik who is known for his koyach atfilo, he says if it was kicked with by a mule, that the knees are white. Okay, special kind of mule. Some kind of a mule that will never get healed.
Who
Rab Chanina was a doctor? I thought it was Rab Chanina ben Doisa, the one that always used to ask him to be Miss Pavel for the Cholim. The Mishnah in Bracha says that when Rabbi Gamliel's son was sick, so they went to ask Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, he should be mispalm. They didn't ask Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said that he should be mispalm. Okay, he was a doctor. Okay, a different Rabbi Chanina, not the famous one. Then the Gemara quotes the pasuk Einoid Milvadoi. What does it mean? That no one. That's called Yichud Hashem. Yichud Hashem means Yisrael Hashem Alkein Hashem Echad. Yichud Hashem means we believe in monotheism, but it means more than that. Yichud Hashem means Einoid Milvadoi. The Ribbono Shel Olam has full control over everything in the world. And therefore, it only makes sense to be mispaltim. You shouldn't ask anybody to help you. Sometimes you have to ask other people, but you shouldn't rely on the other people that they're going to help you. The main reliance should be on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he has full control over everything. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that the three birchas Kriya Shema in the morning, in Shacharis, same thing in Maariv also, each bracha of Kriya Shema corresponds to each one of the three parakim of Shema, and it spells out the theme. So the first bracha, Yetzirah, Varich Hoshech, there's one God. The Avodah Zarah used to believe that there's a God of light and a God of darkness and a God of good, a God of evil, a lot of gods. We believe Yetzirah, Varich Hoshech, there's one God. Osir Shalom, Varich Hakol. He created everything, does everything. And that corresponds to Hashem Echad. And we spell out in Shacharis, Kihul Avado, Poel Gvuros Hasech Adoshas Bam Milchamos Ariat Takos Matzmiach Ushuos, etc., etc. He's the only one who has full control over everything in the world. That's called Yichud Hashem. There's only one God, monotheism, and Baruch Shalom is in full control of everything. Then the second bracha corresponds to the second parsha in Shema. That's about Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs and Kabbalah Sol Torah. And the third parsha, Emes V'Yatzev, Emes V'Emunah, corresponds to Yitzias Mitzrayim, about Geula. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk, Ein Oid Malvada, Baruch Shalom has full control of everything in the world. Amar Abchanina, Afilu Kshofim. Even with black magic, you can't harm a tzaddik if he doesn't deserve any harm. The Rebbeinu Shlom has full control of everything that's going on in the world. So the Gemara tells a story about this Reb Chanina. Once upon a time there was a woman, Tahavas Kamahadra in the Mishkal Afra. She was trying very hard to try to get some sand, mitoise kari de Reb Chanina, from under his feet. Apparently he was sitting on a chair, and she wanted to get some sand from the floor where he was sitting, in order to make him suffer, in order to, Rashi says, to kill him, I think. Through Kishev. To do Kishev to kill him, yeah. So he said, lady, do whatever you want. It's not going to affect me. Ainoid Malvadoi. He can't do anything. Omaloa, so he said to the woman, Shkoli, take whatever you want. Loi Mistai Milsech. It's not going to help because the Pasuk says, Ainoid Malvadoi Ksi. There's nothing to worry about. They had, after Avelva Lo Soloveitchik passed away, so everybody wrote over, so he died a long time ago. So he, 1960, that was a long time ago, I think. So they had one of the stories that they told, that he was not in Brisk when the Nazis came to Brisk, and they killed his wife, and they killed some of the children, and they took other children away. Some of his children got lost, they never saw them again. So he took a train to go back to Brisk, and he was with his son Reb Beryl Soloveitchik. He was a young boy, and there were Nazis going on the train. So when they were traveling, I think it was against the law for Jews to go on the train there. So he said, "Just have in mind, Einod Mavada, and no one's going to start up with us." So they were mechaven the whole time. Einod Mavada, Bansholm has full control over the world, and no one started up. So then, when they started to come near Brisk, and they saw the forest on the outskirts of the city, so they were relaxed. They felt they were almost home again. So all of a sudden, a Nazi officer stopped and he said, "Jews, what are you doing on the train? You don't belong here." He started to jostle them around, to kick them, and so on. So they realized that they were so comfortable, they were relaxing, because they saw the forest on the outskirts of this. They felt they were almost home, and they stopped being mechaben Einoid Malvadai. So they realized they have to be mechaben some more. So many years later, when he lived in Eretz Yisrael already, he was a sickly person. He used to have a private minion in his home on Matzoi Shabbos. So once, the one who used to daven for an Amid was always, what was his name? Blau. The one from the Neturei Karta.
Amram
Blau was always, that's how they say, he was the Baal Tefila for Mariv. He had a chazak. He was the Baal Tefila for Mariv. Every Matzoi Shabbos in the Brisker of some. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik guessed him, how is Reb Reuven Bengis? So he says, he's not well. He's not well at all. Why do you ask? Reb Elbel hadn't seen him. So he said, he told him that a Rav from America came to speak to me 2 days ago, and it was on Thursday or Friday or something, and he said that he just visited Reb Reuven Bengis. And he says he's so alert, even though he was an old man, he was so alert, and he's on the ball, and he gives all the right answers, and he knows what he's talking about. And I felt as if it's a dart in my heart. Every time he was saying how healthy Reb Reuven Bengis was, he felt that this rabbi was giving him an ein hara. So I knew for sure he's going to get sick. That's what Reb Elbel said. I knew for sure he's going to get sick. So Amram Blas said, if it's an ein hara, so you should say Einoid Malvado in Shain. That's apparently the meaning. He said Einoid Malvado, so you sprech up an ein hara. So Reb Elbel got very upset. So he said, "You're making a joke out of an ikar and amuna. Einoid Malvado is an ikar and amuna. What are you making? What are you kibitzing about?" So he didn't know what he was so upset about. So he dabbed Marvin and went home. So the Bachim who were there asked him, "Why is he so upset about what he said about Einoid Malvado?" So that's when he told him over this story with the Nazis. Then he felt that Einoid Malvado, that pasuk is an ikar. That's the ikar of Yichud Hashem. We believe not only in monotheism, we believe that God is in full control of everything in the world. And that's why it makes sense always to daven. A person needs a parnasa, needs a shidduch, he needs a refuah, he needs children, whatever you need. You have to ask the Baruch Shalom who's in full control of everything. So the Gemara affects Takashi. Rabbi Chanina says, Mabadoi, Kishuv is not going to help against the tzaddik. If the Baruch Shalom doesn't want it to happen, it's not going to happen. Freg the Gemara, but it's not so. Rabbi Yecheron, Lamadikrishman, Kshofim. Why do we call black magic with such a lotion? Kshofim, it's a play on words. Shemakhishim Pamalyo Shalmailo. That with the black magic, with the Kishuv, one has the ability to go against the wishes of the Bezen Shalmailo. A tzaddik doesn't deserve to suffer, and a person with kishuv can cause the tzaddik to suffer. So you see that it's not true. Einad Mavada. It's not that the Rabbanu Shalom is in full control of everything in the world. With kishuv, you can go against the wish of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And for the Gemara, it depends who the tzaddik is. Shani, Rab Chanina, the nefisha zachvasi. This Tana Rab Chanina was a holy tzaddik. So they had no tainus, they had no tarumas against him at all. So all the kishuv in the world is not going to help against him. But if you have a tzaddik, ain't tzaddik v'asa she'asa toivu lo yetta, you have another tzaddik who does deserve a little bit of a punishment. And not everybody does all the mitzvahs. Sometimes you do averis. Another tzaddik with kishuv, the Bezer Shalmaila will already be maskim that he should be punished. The Omer Ab Chanina. Chanina says, Einoid Melvadai, that's his Hizika, Einoid Melvadai, everything is min Hashemayim. Baruch Hashem is in full control. So to Einoid Noke, if it's boy Melamato, if a person bruises, injures his finger, his thumb, Elim Kemachrizen Elim Melamado. It cannot be that a person should hurt himself without Exerim min Hashemayim. It's not going to be an accident. Whenever a person suffers, it's min Hashemayim. The Gemara says, in the end of Yuma, the Gemara says, a person who suffers yisurim, whatever, physical yisurim, panas yisurim, whatever it is, yisurim should be accepted as a punishment, and it should be mechaper. Yeah. Yisurim is mechaper. So the Gemara says, ad hechon tachlis yisurim, what's considered yisurim? So the Gemara says, the Magir Chavos used to quote this Gemara, Rabbi Lesson. So the Gemara says, the fellow put his hand in his pocket to get a quarter, and then he takes it out. It turns out that he took a nickel. He has to put the nickel back, take out a quarter. So it's a little bit, a slight nuisance. That's also a madrega of yisurim. That's also mechaper a little bit. Any slight yisurim. So we should assume that all of these yisurim are min hashamayim. So that's what Rab Chanina says. Ein olam nokev, etz boi malamato, ke machriz ma'olam malamayim. A person never suffers in this world unless he deserves to suffer, and the Bezen Shalmaila made such a gzeira. Shenema, me'ashem et tzadigova koinonu, it's min hashamayim gzeira, the way a person walks in the street. Whether he can walk straight or he can't walk straight. Yeah. Human beings wouldn't understand it, but everything is min hashamayim. Omer abloza dam nikuf, when a person bumps his finger and he's bleeding, so that the bleeding, just like if a person would bring a carbon and you zark the dam on the mizbeach, so that's mechaper. So the dam hanikuf is meratzeh, it's also mechaper, kedam oila, as if a person had brought the carbon oila to the Beis HaMikdash, and then we zark the dam. Means dam nikuf, any suffering?
Shouldn't it be a chatas?
Chatas. The Gemara says, oila is mechaper on esse. If a person was mevatla mitzvah saseh. Mechatas is special. It's only brought only mechaper on an avera, which if a person would have done it b'mezid, would have mechayv kari. So if he did it b'shegig, is chayv chafi. And all is mechaper and everything else other than that. Machshava also machshava, yep, right. Machshava is avera, hehuri avera. So when do you consider mamish if a person is bleeding? So you consider it like a carbon. It's taka so strong. Amarav, it depends when. It's only begudel yamin. If it's the thumb on the right hand, if he's a right hand, he bends his hand down like this, it's gonna bleed, it's gonna be with force and it's gonna be painful. Stam, he got a pebble in his shoe and his toe starts to bleed, that doesn't count. Only if it's the right thumb with force, he's banging down, ubenikib sheni, and he banged it already the second time and it didn't heal from the first time. So it's still very tender, very painful. So now it's gonna even hurt. Mod vuhu the causal advar mitzvah. And he's going to daven, and then he thinks shomer mitzvah, shluchim mitzvah, and he's zokim, and then he gets hurt, so he's more aggravated about it. So if it's more painful, and it's not expected, and he thought that he was all protected, and he's not, so then in such a situation, the dam anikuf, the bleeding of the thumb, is mechaper as if he had brought a korban adam. And then they end off about Rav Pinchas ben Yor, that he never wanted to eat by anybody. He told above him, I say, he told Rebbe, what do you think? I don't like to eat by anybody. He didn't eat by his parents' home. So he told Rabbi Yudan Nasi, what are you so happy about that I agreed to eat? But you think I never eat by anyone? Yeah, he never ate by anyone. Very strange, Hanhoga. Okay, like Shmuel Anavi. Omer Olav al Pinchas Meir. Miyam of Leibots al Prusa Shein Shalai. He never wanted to eat by anybody else. Miyam Shomer al Daita as a child when he understood that we want to have Loimi Matan's Bas of Adam. Loinanim Besun Asavit. He didn't eat by his parents, so he's paid his parents. He got a job and he paid his parents for the food that he was eating. Yeah. The school of Arichas Yom, Sayin Matan is Yichi. Okay. Yeah. So now, this is really Maseches Chulin. We're supposed to be learning about Shechita. How did we get involved in Rav Pinchas ben Yair? How did we get involved here? Because they were talking about Shechitas Kusi and Shechitas Mumer. And they were talking about tzaddikim, behemtam shel tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitah kol al yadam tzaddikim atzmon lekol shekein. So where did that melitza come from? Behemtam shel tzaddikim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitah kol al yadam. That was the chamor of Pinchas ben Yoyer. That when he stopped off at the inn, they wanted to give the chamor something to eat, and wouldn't eat it, because it was demai. Either the chamor was machmer, Taisus quotes Yerushalmi, or the Bible says it was taka demai. Okay. So that's the whole story. And when did they quote that? They quoted it to explain about Rabbi Yudah Hanasi, Rebbe, the Rebbe Hita Beit Shan, Rebbe Paskin, that whole section of Eretz Yisrael, parts of the section of Eretz Yisrael is really Chutz Loretz, that there were many areas, Harbi Krachim Kovshu, Olim Mitzrayim, Olim Kovshu, Olim Bavel, that after the 7 years of Golus Bavel, at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the Kedusha Saris was Batlo. So when they came back after the Shim Shana, Golus Bavel, Ezra Nechemiah had to be mikdash everything all over again. So they weren't mikdash everything. They left and made a political decision not to be mikdash all of Eretz Yisrael because it's going to be gehakt tzaris with Shemitah. The Anim have to have a place where they can do work during Shnas al Shemitah. So he left out a section. And how did Rebbe figure this out? For so many years it was mikubal to treat that section in Eretz Yisrael like Eretz Yisrael. How did he go against it? Because Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz, the brother-in-law of Rabbi Meir, gezakt Edis, himself as a gavur rabbi Talmud Chacham, he said, I remember on one occasion, my brother-in-law Rabbi Meir ate alush al yerek. He ate some demai over there, and he was not mafresh maisris. How can it be that Rabbi Meir forgot? And according to Rabbi Meir, v'takol ha'idei tzaddikim, so it must be that is chutz lartz. Yeah, usually, tradition is a crucial. We pointed out. The minig is very crucial in determining how we pass on the halacha. The Gemara has, when we learn brachas, so we came across the Gemara says, "No galma kahani tlas savi." The minig olam is like this tana, like the other tana, even though it's a shita sayachid. The minig olam is sometimes kaveh what the psak halacha is. So the Rambam also writes like that. The minig is an ikar gadolim psak halacha. We mentioned the Rambam has a machloikis with the Goinim. The Goinim. In the days of the Tanoim, there was a machlokes, how do you determine which year is Shemitah and when is Yovel? So Rabbi Yudah's opinion is he counts 777 Le'olam Void. And the 50th year, which is going to be Yovel, is the first year of the next Shemitah cycle. So you only have, instead of having 6 years to work the field, you only have 5 years. Because the 50th year is Yovel, and that's the first year of the next Shemitah. So the first year of the Shemitah and the seventh year of the Shemitah, you can't do Avodah Zakah, you only have 5 years to work. And we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah's opinion, we pass like the Chacham. You don't count 777 the Olam Void, count 50-50-50. So you count 777 times. And then the 49th year is Shemitah. Then the 50th year is a blank year, doesn't belong to any Shemitah. And then the next year is the first year of the next Shemitah cycle, and you count 50-50. So after the Churban Baisheni, so the Goinim, the Gemara says the Baisheni was Chorev and Metzoy Shvius. Baisheni was Chorev Matzoy Shviz. That's the year after Shemitah. This year, the year before Shemitah. Tavshin Ayin Hei is going to be Shemitah. So the Gemara says the Churban Baisheni took place Matzoy Shemitah. Tosfos there, that's a Gemara now by the Zohar in the first parak on Daf Yud. So Tosfos there has two pshatim, and they're not sure what it means. It means that Tisha B'Av, that summer, during that year when the Baisheni was Chorev, was Matzoy Shviz. That's the simple reading. And Tosfos has another pshat. No, it means the Roman soldiers put the Beis HaMikdash on fire, and it was burning for 2-3 months. And when it finally went out, that was after Rosh Hashanah the next year, that was Matzoi Shmiyas. But the Tisha B'Av, when they put it on fire, was Shmiyas, was Shnas HaShmitah. So that's a question, which year is Shmita? So you got to calculate whether the year the Shnas Churban Baisheni was that Shnas HaShmitah. According to one opinion in Tosfos, Matzoi Shmiyas means the next year. When the fires went out, when the flames went out, it was Matzoi Shmiyas. But when they put the torch to the Beis HaMikdash, it was Shnas HaShmitah. Oh, no, that Tisha B'Av was Matzoi Shmiyas. That's one question that you have to be done on. Then you have to be done another question, when is going to be the next Shemitah? So whatever this Shemitah was, 7-7, and then what do you do the 50th year? So the Rambam says you should do like we always did, 50-50-50-50, and then this, the 50th year is going to be a blank year that doesn't belong to any unit of 7 years. And the Goyim have a tradition that it's not so. The Rambam didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, never lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael followed their Shita. That was always the practice. Every seventh year with Shemitah, and you don't count a blank year. So the Rambam says makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's not correct. And really, you should count 50-50 to push off the next Shemitah. But what can we do? Don't follow my opinion. The Rambam says follow the practice of the Gaon, because the Jews who lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Jews, he lived in Egypt, so in Chutz Lo'ez, they don't observe Shemitah. There's nothing to discuss. The people who lived in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Galmud like the Shita Sagan. We don't understand why, but the Rambam says, since that's the Minig, so the Minig is Kaveh, what the Psak Aloch is.
Doesn't Rashi say 3 years in Chumash?
What?
Doesn't Rashi tell us 3 years in Chumash, that we have to go for 3 years, so that's the sort of...
The Pasuk says, we are Sosa Satvo L'Shlosh
HaShani. So how do you, according to that, how do you get to 3 years, or the 2 years?
No, when you have Yovel. No, today we don't have any Yovel.
I understand, but even according to what you want to say, with
no, when you have Yovel, so the 49th year is Shemitah, then the 50th year is Yovel, so there's going to be 2 years that nothing is going to be planted. So the harvest that you're going to get in the 60th is going to last for 3 years. It's going to have to last for 3 years, yeah. So Bismarck says we don't have any Yovel. So the Rambam says, even though we don't have Yovel, right, even though we don't have Yovel, but the Rambam says you should still count it as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah.
Right, yeah.
And the Rambam says, but the Minig is not so. So you don't follow my suggestion, you follow the Minig. And the Ravid is Masig on the Rambam. He says, no, so you should follow the Rambam.
Right.
That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. To the best of his recollection, is the only place where there's a machloik is the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam says, don't paskin like me, and the Ravid is Masig. No, you have to paskin like the Rambam. The Rambam is right. Machloik is whether you follow the Rambam or you don't follow. Yeah. So the Rambam says the minig. So here, for many years, that was the minig in the whole Beit Shan area. There used to be mafresh maizos, and then Rabbi Yudah Nasi came up with the chiddush, and that's what the Gemara says. When a Talmid Chacham comes up with a big chiddush, we say Mokem Inichem and Hashemayim Lehisgada Boy. Sometimes we say the minig is not so, so we don't accept this chiddush, and sometimes we say the minig was a minig betos. Talmid Chacham ascertains. So the Gemara holds over here. It couldn't be min Hashemayim that Rav Meir would eat demai. Demai is only a suffix. Demai is only a suffix. That's what Rav Yosef Engel asks. Maybe this demai that Rav Meir rov ha'meoritz ha'me'asrin hang. There's a miyot ha'me'horto and not me'asrin. So maybe min Hashemayim they wouldn't let Rav Meir violate the iser eating tevel, eating demai. Maybe the demai that he ate was gemaiset rov ha'meoritz ha'me'asrin hang. So you see, for the Gemara, it doesn't help. Once the Chacham declared that there's a din of demai, you have to be mafresh because of the slight suffix, maybe this Amoritz was not mafresh, so they declared all demai is varei tevel midirabon. It's a varei din, it's not a betora suffix, maybe yeah, maybe no. It was maybe yeah, maybe no, so ben Hashemayim, they would protect Rav Meir not to sin, so he didn't sin. Maybe the demai that he ate was from the Rav.
So if it's varei, then why can a poor person eat it, or a soldier?
It's because the whole thing is only a chumra midirabonim. It's only a chumra midirabbanan. Sometimes you have a real din midirabbanan. Sometimes you have a chumra midirabbanan. So demai rov amor, it's masrin hein. So it's only a chumra midirabbanan. Yeah, you don't say a bracha either when you mafrish demai. Why? Because suffik. Why is it a suffik? If the Mishnah Melech, Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this, Mishnah Melech raises a possibility that hafroshes demai is betoras vaday. Yeah, it's betoras vaday, but it's rooted in a suffik. It started off as a suffik. So that's what the Rambam writes in the Tshuva. Anything that started off, anything that has any slight suffix involved, is already suffix brachas lachi. You're ready, you delete the suffix.
But
according to Rav.
Esther ate katnei chazer. I don't know. You mean mitam pikoch nefesh? The Jews in the concentration camps all say katnei lechazer. You have no choice. That's it's not a takola. Mishum pikoch nefesh is mutter. If one's life is bisakana, the only thing you can do to save your life is to eat trek. That finish kembreira. She was living with the goy also. That's also an avera. But Okay. Achil also, if it's pikuach nefesh, you have no bread. So it's muta, then it becomes muta. Yeah.
According to the Rambam, we count the yovel, but we do not observe. Isn't that right?
The Rambam holds the yovel should be a blank year, but we don't observe it at all.
We don't observe it.
Right, you don't observe it. And he quotes the Gemara says, "Bizman towards the end of the Bais Rishon period, when the golus of the Aseres Hashvatim began already." So the laws of Yovel were not knowing, but they counted the Yovel as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. So they counted 50-50. And the 50th year they didn't observe anything. The whole significance, the whole relevance of counting it as a blank year was to push off the next Shemitah. So the Rambam says it should be the same today. And the Goyim say, no, it's not. So the Rambam throws up his hands and can't understand it. But he says, even though it doesn't make any sense to him, we should follow it. So Abchaim Soloveitchik has in his Sefer Naam, he gives a very beautiful explanation. Gives a wonderful explanation. He says that Yovel doesn't happen by itself. You have to have Bezdin has to count. Svartim Lachem, it says. Svartim Lachem. So the Bezdin has to count. So at the end of the Bais Rishon period, there was a Bezdin HaGadol who was counting. His mother said, there is no Bezdin HaGadol. No one is counting anything. So Yovel does not happen by itself. Shemitah does happen by itself. Shemitah every seventh year happens to be Shemitah. But the Yovel, you have to have a Bezdin count. So Rav Chaim defends, he explains the good. Others explain differently. The Or Sameach has a different Kabbalistic explanation for the God. Different explanation. But the Rambam thought that absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. And nonetheless, he said he gives in to the God. And he says that was the practice in Eretz Yisrael.
You talk about 600 years after Ezra. So 600 years nobody knew?
I don't know. They were apparently in the. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi assumes that in the later years they forgot. In the early years they knew. They knew which parts were not in the Scottish. And they found, I mentioned. And they found, the Chazon Ish suggested that it doesn't mean the whole Beit Shan Valley is all Chutz Lo'aretz. Sections in the Beit Shan Valley. So after he passed away, the archaeologists found a stone from Shul in the Galil that said exactly like the Chazon Ish said. And it listed off which sections in the Beit Shan area were not in the Scottish B'Kedusha Shniyah. So it's Taka right. What Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said was right. What the Chazon Ish said was right. They found archaeologically that is always correct. It is correct.
According to the sheet that you know, 7-7 Yovel was part of the first year. How do you mafish Maisa Sheni and Maisa Ani in that cycle? Is it Maisa Sheni, Sheni Ani, Sheni, Sheni, no Ani?
Why no Ani?
You only have five 7 years for the Shemitah.
If you hold 7-7.
Yeah.
So the first year is going to be Yovel, so did not mavish anything.
So that would be considered year one, that would have been a Maisa Sheni. So then you have a Sheni, Ani, Sheni, Ani.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So this was some Gemara. This is all a side point. This Pinchas Ben Yoyer and Eina Kodesh Baruch Mev Takol Adiyat Tzadikim and if a Talmud Chacham has a Chiddush, you have to listen. Sometimes we declare the minig was a minig b'tois, and sometimes we don't. Tosfos has on the first. We must have discussed that the Rabbi Natam has a famous tshuva that's printed on the bottom of the page in the Mordechai on Maseches Gittin. So the tshuva begins with the statement that the word minhog is spelled with the same letters as Gehenim. Sometimes you observe a minig, you go straight to Gehenim. Such a thing as a minik shtus, and such a thing as a minik toif. So the Rabbein Atam, this Rabbein Atam is quoted b'kitz on the opening Mishnah in Bava Basra, the Abbeis Amin Aleph on the first Omid in Bava Basra, that the Mishnah says, if two neighbors agree that they want to build a wall to separate in between the two properties, So how thick does the wall have to be? So the Mishnah says if they made up, they want to build it with bricks, that tells how thick. If they want to build it with stones, how thick. They want to build it with a wood, how thick. With plaster, how thick. And then it says, and whatever other material that we didn't mention, hakol kaminah hamdina. So Tosfos asks, once you're going to end off hakol kaminah hamdina, so what do you have to waste your breath to say if it's bricks and if it's stone and if it's this and if it's that? Just say hakol kaminah hamdina. So mikan yesh lomad, the Mishnah means to say that if they're going to make it with bricks or stones thicker than what the Mishnah says, you should know the Mishnah tells you that's a minig shtus. You can't be mechayv me to pay so much money to waste money. The Mishnah tells you what's reasonable. So otherwise the Mishnah could have just said, hakol kaminah hamdina. So you see there's some minhagim that you're not supposed to follow. That's a minig shtus. So that's a question. That's a difficult. How do you determine when in a later generation the Talmud Chacham has a right to declare that the minig that they were observing, we know they're observing for centuries. It wasn't from the days of Ezra. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi claims in the days of Ezra they knew that this area was Chutz Lord. And somehow in later generations they forgot and they were treating it as if it were Eretz Yisrael. So how does he have the right, how does he know that he has the right to reverse that minig? And other times the Rambam says, you're not allowed to reverse the minig. No, gal makani klasovi. We assume whatever the practice is, the common practice is, that's kaveh what the halach is. So that's a serious question. That's a serious question. How do you know which minig you have a right to reject and which minhagim not?
A minig shtus is not the same as a minig betos.
Also, minig betos, yeah. Minig shtus, Rav Salvation, minig shtus, every minig has a good reason. Minig shtus does mean doesn't have a good reason. They all have a good reason. Minig shtus, Rav Salvechik thought, means it doesn't. There's no kiyum. There's no kiyum. Every minig has to be a kiyum deraisa, a kiyum derabbanon of something. Either you're satisfying a certain sheet in Tanoim or Amaroim, even though it's not the halacha, we didn't accept that. Let's say, what do we have? A minig. You have a minig not to have fleshiks in the 9 days. So that's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says they were considering making an Isser that we're not allowed to eat flesh, b'zmanazad, the last daf in Cheskes Abatim. They asked the Chacham after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdosh, we have the right to eat flesh because we offer karbonis to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We have the right to drink wine because we bring Nisa Chayayin. But if we no longer have a Beis HaMikdosh and we no longer bring flesh as a matana, we don't bring Yayin as a matana, so maybe it's not right, we shouldn't have the right to eat basa v'yayin. So the Chacham said that you can't drink water because they brought nisach hamayim on the mizbech, and you can't eat bread because they brought menachas on the mizbech. So life will be impossible. You can't eat bread and you can't drink water. So you can't. There's no bikurim. So the shevis aminim, those fruits, you can't eat. It's impossible. So that's exerus shen roi batzi biyichalim lamed bar. So the minhag developed that this idea is a good idea to prohibit basa v'yayin the whole year long. That's a chumrah, a gzeirah shen rabbi ati b'chalam lamed. But for 9 days, not that basa v'yayin, nishgefelach, others had the minhag not that basa v'yayin for the whole 3 weeks. So we don't have that minhag. We only have for the 9 days. What? Shua shechalbo, that's some of it. Yes, some of those are takadinim. Some of those halachas are takadinim in the Mishnah. Shavuot Shechalba. So we have a minig to move up all the hanhagas of the Shavuot Shechalba. We observe starting from Rosh Chodesh. So that was a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes atanoim. Whether the Avelus, he's supposed to observe Avelus over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Do you observe Avelus only Shavuot Shechalba? Do you observe the whole week from the beginning to the end? Tisha B'Av falls out Tuesday and Wednesday. You observe the whole week and you only observe up until Tisha B'Av. So we followed that sheet only up until Tisha B'Av. Then there was machlokes, should you begin to observe Avelus from Rosh Chodesh or only from Shavuot Shechalba? So we paskan only Shavuot Shechalba, but the minig is to follow the other Tana. There was such an opinion based on the pasuk in Navi that the Avelus has to begin from Rosh Chodesh of. Yep. So there is a din. You're supposed to observe Avelus of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The minig developed that we add on more. The Mikra din, let's say Rechitza, is only also during Shiva. After Shiva, the morning that Shiva is over, everybody takes a shower, and Mechitza is mutter during Shloshim. In the days of the Rishonim, the Rav Yoh records, in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, Rav Yoh was used to correspond with the Rabbi in the time, I think, the same time as the Bali HaTosfos. So they, Rashbam, so they introduced the minhag not to bathe all of Shloshim. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. We don't have it anymore. Bizman Hazeh, everybody bays on the morning of Shiva. But what they add on, there is an inyan of Avela. So there is a kiyum. When you observe these minhagim, there is a kiyum. But let's say you're going to observe a minig, there's no kiyum at all. There's no kiyum. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. At the time that he said it, I didn't understand what he was driving at. Then I read Rav Moshe's Tshuvah, so I understood what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Soloveitchik said about getting married, tachas kippus harakiyah, not to get married inside a building. The Ramah says, meaning is to get married outside under the sky. So someone asked Rav Soloveitchik about that. He was going to get married at a wedding hall where there was no room to get married outside. So Rav Soloveitchik was making fun, so he said, the Rebbeinu Shem listens to the brachas even if they're inside also. He's going to listen to the brachas. I don't understand. What is he making fun of? A minig is a minig centuries old. Some say the minig exists in the Yerushalmi. Some interpret Yerushalmi like that. Taisus and Yuma quotes Yerushalmi. So they say the Yerushalmi had the minig to get married outside. So then I read Rav Moshe has a tshuva. So he also makes fun. He explains why. A minig has to be a kiyum of something or another. So what is this a kiyum of? To invoke, we know the reason. The reason is good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Vayotzi Osa Achutza, Avraham Avinu was in his Ohel. So the Baruch Shalom told him, come out of the Ohel. So Inecha Shamayim Esvar Kochavim Tucha Lispa Ko Yezarecha. So the minig is, a young couple is getting married. If a woman is remarrying at the age of 65, then it says the minig is she gets married inside the house. But if it's a young girl getting married, and we want her to be blessed with, to have a family, to have children, so we have them walk outside, to go outside, and you get married, tachas kippus harakiyah, tachas hakochavim, to invoke the blessing. Yeah, invoke the blessing. We know the reason why. It's a beautiful reason. It's a nice idea, but there's no kiyum of anything. There's no kiyum. When you observe Avelis, you don't have basa v'yayin. That's a way to observe Avelis over the churban beis hamikdash. We have sometimes an oinen observes Avelis, he doesn't eat basa v'yayin. That's during Shiva you do eat basa v'yayin, but in Aninus it's a different kind of Avelis. You don't eat basa v'yayin, and not bathing. There is a din of not bathing in Shiva, so we extended it to Shloshim, and there is a din of Avelis in Shavuot Shechalba, so we extended it starting from Rosh Chodesh. And let's say there was a minig that was going on for many years not to take, even when we learned Masech Shabbos, we discussed it, minig not to take a cold bath, not to take a cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There was a machlokes hatanoim. They made gzeiros habalonim. In the days of the tanoim, they used to have public bathhouses. People didn't have a private shower or a bathtub in their own home. So they had a public bathhouse. So the balonim, the bathhouse attendants, it wasn't the highest paid salary, so they were not such educated people. They weren't so religious people. So people came to take a hot bath on Shabbos, so they would make the fire on Shabbos. And then they would swear they didn't, they were not Mechal Shabbos. So the Tanoim said, you're not allowed to take a hot bath on Shabbos, even if it's true that the water was heated before Shabbos, because it exerus habalonim, because a lot of them were Mechal Shabbos. So there's a machlokes and thinking about one ton of holes. They made a loyplug that even to take a cold shower is not allowed. So we don't paskan like that. But the minig developed in the days of the Baal HaTos, the Mordechai quotes, the minig developed that you don't take a cold shower on Shabbos. The Gedolim from 150 years ago wrote that we don't observe that minig anymore, because after Whitney invented the cotton gin and they started making cotton underwear, and people started changing the clothes more often, changing underwear and taking showers more often, it's healthier. So then, because they took showers more often, so then the Rabbanim said we don't have to observe that minig anymore. But that minig made sense, not to take a cold shower, to satisfy that shita satanaim, to be choshish for that shita satanaim, that there was a gzeres habalonim. Even though we don't pass on like that, we say, so there is a midas chasidus in being choshish for the shita that was not accepted. So that's why Moshe writes about the minig to get married, tachas kippus harakiyah. There's no kiyum. It has a very good reason, beautiful reason. We want to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu. Every minig is not a minig shtus in the sense it doesn't have a good reason. It has a beautiful reason. But a minig that shouldn't be a minig shtus has to have a kiyum of something or not. Here there's no kiyum.
If I want to be machmir for Beis Shammai, for example, in a place where we usually pass in like Beis Hillel, so would that also be a good minhag?
The Gemara says the original statement was formulated in connection with Bisham and Bisila. That's in Erevin, Yud Gim Lam and Beis. We learned that also. That's in the end of the first parak in Erevin. But with respect to Bisham and Bisila, it's only accepted on one level. Dibelikim Chaim, when you learn Shitas Bishamai, spend a lot of time learning Shitas Bishamai, that's not considered Bittul Torah. It's a Chepsah Shal Torah, because they too are using the Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Bem, and even though we know in advance we're not going to Paschal like them, a lot of times you look in Shulchan Aruch, we know we're not going to Paschal like, it's famous, not going to Paschal like a certain Shita, but we spend a lot of time to discuss that Shita anyway, to discuss how they worked that out. So, Dibre Elikim Chaim regarding Bishamai is only Benegir that it's not Bittul Torah, that it's a Kiyam of Talmud Torah. But La Halacha Lamaise, we don't follow Bishamai at all. The Gemara says, Bishamai B'Makam Mesil Eina Mishneh, there's no Midas Chassidus to be Choshes for Bishamai. Why is that different? That's the original member of Eliyahu the Dibre Elikim Chaim was formulated Lagabi Bishamai. So the Mishkan Es Yankov explains why it's not only Bishamai Bisil. He says, Bishamai Bisil were together in the same Beis Medrash and they voted. Usually you have a machleike, so the Ktsois lives in one city and the Nesivis lives in a different city. The Shach and the Taz lives in a different city. The Mechaber and Ramo lived in the different continents. The Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Ramo lived in Poland. They lived in different parts of the world. You have a machleike, they're not together. But if they're together in Omdul and Minyan and they voted and they outvoted the Bishamai, so once they're outvoted, that's it. So then it's still a Chefter Shal Torah to discuss Shitas Bishamai. It's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but we don't say that it's relevant halacha lemaisa. That's the lashon b'shamay b'makom mesila in a mishnah, not because we have something against b'shamay, but rather because they were outvoted. Then the Rishonim have another klal. Let's say it constitutes a midas chasidus to be choshish for the shita sayachid. If the shita sayachid is 10% of the gedolim hold like that, 5%. What if it's a shita yechidu legamrei? You discovered aksav yad that some Rishon had a wild idea. We don't know if anybody else ever agreed with him. If it's a few Rishonim say like that, a few group of Tanoim say like that, so then it constitutes a Midas Chassidus to be Choshish for that Shita.
Except for Mammon, not for Mammon.
Mammon, right. So Mammon, the fellow who's the Muchzok has the right to say Kimli. I hold like the Shita Sayach, but again, he can only say Kimli because he Hamotz Machavel of Harai, Nida, Rai Alimta. You can only say Kimli if it's a minority opinion that has a few shitas hold like that. But if it's a shita yichido, then the muchsa cannot say Kimli hold like the shita yichido. Also not. There are klolim. When we say Eloi, I remember once Dr. Belkin spoke at a mini chagasmicha, not at the big. He used to speak at the big chagasmichas also. Once he had a mini chagasmicha, so he started off by saying that Balabata make a mistake to think Eloi the divil kim chayim. So anything goes, whatever you paskin, you're safe, because it's always going to be a shita like you said. So he said, that's not what it means. Only been a get to limerat Torah. When you learn shita, it's Beishamai, there's a kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But you can't paskin like Beishamai. So he was proud of the fact that for the first time in the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, they're having a rabbi who has real smicha and knows how to paskin. I don't know if he was right on the occasion, but that's what he was very happy about, that fact. Having a rabbi who taka knows Yeridei is going to be able to paskin la'alochim. We don't say elevated divul kaim that anything goes. You have to know, you have to have a masorah, how to paskin la'alochim.
Yeah,
that's their party line. Elevated is anything goes.
But if there's a Mishnah where it's one tana versus the Chachamim, so that's not the same as Nimna v'Gamro?
The question is whether Omdul Aminyan he was outvoted. So he was outvoted, then it's Eina Mishnah. Then it's the same as Beishamai, that you're not allowed to rely on him even Mishas Hatchak. Usually also, the Gemara has in a few places that Kedai Hirab Shimon Lismachala Mishas Hatchak. If you have a Shita Sayochid, which is not accepted, Laloch, it was Mekel. So if it's a big Hefzid Meru, Mishas Hatchak, you can be Mekel like that Shita Sayochid. Many hold only by Dinim Derabanan. You declare it with a stretch. You declare it as a sveka de rabbanu lakula, because they live the divi the kim chaim. It's not a sofek ashok, it's not 50-50. He was outvoted, but still it's a sveka de rabbanu lakula. And some poskim hold even on dinim deraisa. You can say kedai hiraplein elis machala b'shas atchar. So that concept of they live the divi the kim chaim, even to rely on it b'shas atchar or to be choshish for the chumra to satisfy that opinion, that only applies if it wasn't dim de v'gomru. If it wasn't voted upon altogether. Number two, if it's a shita chidor, doesn't apply. It has to be that there's a miyot taniker, there's a miyot tamotze, there's a significant group of tanoim or poskim or all like that. Then you say that Kedai lis mechala b'shas hatchad. But if it's a shita yichidah, then you just ignore it.
Doesn't the
Brisker
try to be, take all the
Rashidas
and
Frederick McConaughey,
all the
Rashidas? Brisker? That was the tradition from the Hasidi Ashkenaz, the Mishkenaz Yankiv, and his tshuva. He had a whole correspondence with Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis about Erevin, making Erevin in all the cities in Europe. So he has a footnote in the Mishkenaz Yankiv. The whole Mishkenaz Yankiv is written in Rashi script. Printed in Rashi script, and then when he has footnotes there, so it's printed in bold block letters, so you can't miss it. So when you look in the tshuva, you won't have to look too hard. You look for the block letters. So he has a footnote where he writes the Hasidi Ashkenaz, that Marm Rutenberg was part of that group, introduced this theme into Psak Halacha until the days of the Hasidi Ashkenaz. So the Sfaradim followed the Sfaradish Poskim, Ashkenazim followed the Ashkenazi Poskim. The Democrats voted Democrat and the Republicans voted Republican. And then a change occurred. So when you get to the Shach and Yerida, you get to the Bir Agra, they forget about Ashkenaz Sfarad, they vote who said, who Shita makes more sense. So the Shach says, I agree with the Rambam, I agree with the Ramban. He ignores the fact that we're Ashkenazim. He says, which Shita makes more sense? The Hasidi Ashkenaz introduced a new Midas Hasidus to be Choshish for all the Shitas. Instead of the Sfaradim always voting Sfaradi, Ashkenazim always voting Ashkenazi, you should always try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. We treat it as if everything were a Sveka deraisa luchum, as if everything is a Sofik. It's not a Sofik Ashok, it's not 50-50. The Rav of the Poskim hold one way. So this is a Midas Hasidus to be Choshish for all the Shitas. So that's quoted a few times in Shulchan Aruch about they quote the Maharam Rutenberg as having introduced such chumris in Shulchan Aruch. That the second night of Rosh Hashanah there's a machlokes where they say Shachyana. When you say Kiddush, they should have a pri chodesh on the table. You should wear a begad chodesh, so it shouldn't be a bracha levatola. Then in Hilchas Challah they quote also the Maharam Rutenberg recommended if you mix flour and without water, you just mixed in made peiris. So there's a machlek is whether you mafresh challah, a machlek is hatanayim, and a machlek is the early rishonim, and a machlek is the later rishonim. Later rishonim didn't know that it was machlek is the early rishonim. The machlek is kept on coming up every couple of generations. So the Maharam Rutenberg said you should always mix in enough water that it should be able to do the lisha without the mepir. So oy shayla, you should always avoid getting involved in that shayla because it's going to be mafresh challah on a bracha. So that's not right. So he said always mix in water. The Shulchan Aruch quotes maybe 13 times or 15 times they quote the Maharam Rutenberg as having introduced these kind of chumras. Then the Mishnah Berurah and every other page introduces it, that he multiplies it by 100. He always, every other page he brings it, should try to do the mitzvah in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. That's in the Bir Halacha all the time. Sharet Zion, yeah. Different themes in Psak Halacha.
The Halacha different makeup of Avil, again, it should be like 10% of the Yachid.
Right, if it's a Shita Yechidah Lagamra, then you don't say Halacha different makeup of Avil. Then it's not even called a Sofik Avelus Lakul. Okay, so this was a fascinating two Dafim Gemara. Rich, important about how you Paskin Shilas. And Rebbe had the courage to Paskin against the Psak HaMakubal. And they just discovered now that he was absolutely 100% right. They had this inscription on the wall of the shul in Galil. They found out the Rebbe was right and the Chazon Ish was right. They were both right. That was going back to Hilchos Shechita. Okay, the top line on the Avches Seminal. Amar Abzeir Amar Shmuel. He quotes in the name of Shmuel. What's the din? You have to take a knife and you have to shech the behema with pressure. You have to fiddle back and forth. If you take a knife and you push straight down, that's called drossa. That's not good. So you have to fiddle back and forth. It has to be a sharp knife. You have to fiddle back and forth. So what's the din if I have a burning hot knife and I take a knife and I burn the neck of the animal? It's a teignish. You have to shech the animal with pressure, not with burning. So he has a shayla, libin sakin. He held a knife over the fire. Libun means to burn. Liban Sakin, he made the knife so burning hot, and then he uses it for shochat bo. So should we assume that he succeeded in shechting with the pressure, that he was pushing, fiddling back and forth and pushing down, so it's a good shechita, or should we assume that the knife was so hot, it burnt the kohen innovation? If it burnt the toignish, that's not called shechita. So he says a chidush ksheira. It's a good shechita. Why? Chidud ha-kodim lo-libuna. We assume that the sharpness of the knife cuts first, and then the burning happens later. let's say a person touches something that is burning hot for a second. I go like this and I jump away. So you won't burn your finger. You'll barely feel it. It only starts to burn if you hold your finger there for a while. So he claims, Amar Abzeira Mashmuel, if you have this burning hot knife and you shecht with it, it's going to succeed in cutting before it's going to burn. Freg de Gemara. But there is a din that you have to shecht the kona and the veshet. The kona is the windpipe and the veshet is the food pipe, the esophagus. So there's a din. If there's a nekev, nukubis haveshet, is a trefa. And the third perek, it lists off all the trefas, and nukubis haveshet is considered a trefa. Let's say the veshet has a nekev over here and a shecht higher or lower. It doesn't help. The animal is a trefa, because not only can you not shecht where the nekev is, even if you shecht a different part of the veshet, a nekev in the veshet, while the animal is alive, makes the animal a trefa. Not only, the Gemara assumes, not only in the Kuvah Salvation is a trefa, let's say I'm in the middle of shechting the animal, and then a nekev develops in the veshet, and a different part of the veshet. I'm shechting over here, and a nekev develops in a different part. Or, a chiddush on top of a chiddush. I'm shechting the veshet, and a nekev develops on the part of the veshet that I shechted already. Let's say I shechted one third of the veshet. And then a nekev develops over there on the third that I shechted already. But since I didn't finish the shechita yet, if I already finished shechting the roif kar and the roif veshet, then a nekev develops. So the animal is already geshochten, that's kosher. If the animal is a trefa before you do the shechita, shechita is not chal. Here it became a trefa in the middle of the shechita. The Gemara is asking, on the kuvas haveshet, on the third of the veshet that already was geshochten. So the Gemara frekt Akasha, you're right, all right, we'll accept what you said. Chidu de kodem lilibuna, the sharpness of the knife will succeed in shechting the animal with the pressure before it's going to burn it. But as you're still pushing pressure on the rest of the kona, the rest of the veshet, the burning hot knife is going to burn a hole in the veshet, the part of the veshet that already was geshechten. So shouldn't that become a trefa in the middle of the shechita? Fascinating kasha v'hoikatz dadim. So the Taptasis explains what's the kasha mashma mikan. You see from the Gemara's question, she'im b'shash chita nikav haveshet kenegin mashash shachat. You're going to develop the kubas haveshet on the third of the veshet that you already did shech. There's also trefa. Toch have a boy the meisim shem tzadim elam shem. The Gemara's havamina was that the animal should be considered a trefa. Yeshchita is good, but it should be a shchita's trefa. And for the Gemara, beis hashchita mirach rovach. When you're shechting the neck, the veshet is tight. So when you start shechting, you already make a nick, and it's going to be like a V. So the knife is in the middle. So the knife will not succeed unless you're going to hold it there for a long time. You're shechting quickly, so that the burning hot part of the knife will not succeed in. See, you could have said when you have the knife and you start to shecht the kona of the veshet, you can say, maybe it burns it. Maybe it doesn't succeed in cutting it. So he claims, chidu de kodem lilibuna. It cuts it first, and then it starts burning it later. But once you already started to cut the veshet is going to be like a V now. So the thickness of the knife is not going to be touching the tzdonim. So since beis hashchita mirvach rovach, it's going to be open, so that's why it won't be considered in the kuvas avesh. It won't be considered that it became a treif in the middle of the shechit.
Isn't it a question of metzias?
Yeah, it is a question of metzias.
Well,
so that's what the Gemara is telling you, what the metzias is. Okay. This is metzias, yeah. So that the Gemara has a funny shayla. Boy, luhu, that a shayla, what's the din in the following case? Liben shpud, the hika boy. Let's say I have a spit, a wooden thing or a metal thing that you put it in the fire and it's burning hot, and then someone slams it on my arm. So I'm going to have a burn, I'm going to have a bang. If they take a baseball bat and they bang me on the arm, I'm going to have a big black and blue mark over there. If they take, they don't bang me on the arm, they take, by mistake, they take a burning hot thing, a frying pan, they put it, so I'm going to have a big burn over there. So let's say a negat saraz develops on a person's body where there was a burn or where there was a bang, where there's a black and blue mark. So that's called shchin u'michva. So the dinim of negatzaras are slightly different. There's a dinim negatzaras on the part of the body where there's no hair growing. Then there's the dinim negatzaras where the hair does grow. Then there's a third dinim negatzaras on the part of the body where there was previously a shchin. Shchin means a klap, a black and blue mark because of pressure. They banged my arm with a baseball bat. Or michvah. Michvah means kviyah, a burn. There was a burn. So both shchin and michvah have the same din. They can only be have... when a person has a negat saras, he has to come to the kohen. So the kohen takes a look. So he sees, let's say, there's a seil lavan inside, there's a negat saras, and then there's a seil lavan inside. So he has to ask, was the seil lavan there before the negat saras developed? Was it kodma saras le seil lavan, or kodma seil lavan le negat saras? So if first there was a negat saras, so he asks the fellow who has the negat saras, which came first? So if he tells him, first, he has a negat saras already a couple of months. He thought it's going to go away. It doesn't go away. Then he realized he has to ask a shayla by the kohen. He doesn't become tumah automatically. Every other tumah person becomes a zava, balkeri, a tumah meis. Happens instantaneously. Right away, he becomes tumah. The one and only exception to the rule is negat saras. You don't become tumah till the kohen paskins that you're tumah. And once the kohen paskins that you're a mitzvah, you're tumah, even if it heals and it gets better, and mamish, no zecha left, you remain tumah till the kohen paskins that you're tumah, till you go through the ceremony, till you go through the ritual, the Seder HaTahara. So the fellow comes to the kohen, and he tells the kohen, the ganze maisa, that 3 months ago he developed this big, he didn't realize that's a neged saras, and then a week after it developed, then the hair inside that was growing anyway turned white. So the kohen's going to declare, you're a tumah mukhlot, you're absolutely tumah. You have to go michutz lamachana. You're not allowed to stay in Yerushalayim or any other yoder. Ayaris hamakaf eschaim. Mos Yeshua ben Nun. A mitzvah is not allowed to enter. Ayaris hamakaf eschaim. If he says no, first the hair turned white and then the neged saras developed. So then you do hezger. Not you don't declare he's a mitzvah muchlot, absolutely tame. He's a mitzvah muzger. So there are differences. What does it mean muzger? What does it mean you lock it up or you lock him up? That's unclear. So the tour, Nachumish says, the Mitzorah Muzgar means they put a band-aid on top of the Negat Saras and they mark on the skin. You have to know whether there was Pisoyon. Did it extend? Did it grow further? So the Kohen has to look at the end of the week. How's he going to remember from last week how big it was last week? So they would mark it on the skin. They would probably make a mark on the skin. So that at the end of the week he'll see, did it grow further or not? So that's called pisoyim. So the tour on Chumash writes, he thinks that for his gira koines hanega, he puts a band-aid on top of the nega, and next week he takes off the band-aid to see whether it grew more or not. And other rishonim, the posh pshat for his gira hanega means for his gira hametzora. He puts him in a house. He says, don't walk around and don't be mitami anybody else. It could be a contagious disease. So Shaila, what it means? So the Mishnah has about Mitzorah Muzgar and Mitzorah Mukhlat. There are differences when it gets to Tumah V'Tara. The Mitzorah Mukhlat is more Mitami people than the Mitzorah Muzgar. So let's say I have a person is a Mitzorah Muzgar. We lock them up for a week. At the end of the week, nothing changed. There's no Pisayon, there's no Se'alav, and there's no Michya. Nothing changed. So the din is you lock them up the second week. What's the din at the end of the second week? So it's not Mefurish in the Psukim, the whole discussion in the Tanoim. What do? You lock him up a third week or not? Hereby, Shchinu Michva, if the Neged Saras developed on that part of the body where there was a clap of the baseball bat and there's black and blue mark, and then the Neged Saras developed over there, or someone put a frying pan on his arm. They didn't bang him, it's not a black and blue mark, but they burnt his skin, the whole thing is burnt, and then the Neged Saras develops there. That's a Michva. So the Dinim are slightly different over here. That it's only Tomei, it can only be Mazgehim for 1 week. At the end of the 1 week, if nothing changes, so he's scot-free. So he's Tohar, he has to go to Mikveh, and that's all. He's Tohar, he doesn't have to have any more Muzgar. So the Din of Shechina Mikveh are the same. It's only Hezger for 1 week, not for 2 weeks. But the Halacha says, in order to declare someone as a Mitzvah, you have to have a Kigris. You have to have a minimum size of an Eged Saras. So what happens if you have a mikvah next to a shchin? This guy's quite a bar mazel. They took a baseball bat and they banged him on the arm and he has a black and blue mark there. Then the next day, they put a frying pan on top right next to the black and blue mark and they burnt him. And then the next mazel is the next day, he develops a negat saras, half a gris on the shchin, half a gris on the mikvah. So the Gemara, the Tanoim and the Mishnah say that it's not mitztarif. half a gris on the shchin, half a gris on the mikvah, and now it's tar from yachad. So the Gemara has a shaila. Iboy lehu, on the fourth line for the top, what's the din? He took this baseball bat. He took a piece of wood. I took a piece of metal or whatever. And it's burning hot. He holds it on the fire. And then he takes it and he bangs it on someone's arm. On his back, whatever, on his leg. So he has both a black and blue mark from the klap, from the koyach, and he has a burn also. So Reb Zera quoted the name of Shvuel, Liban Sak Veshocha, Bachidu de Kadim Lo Libuna. That the cutting comes first and the burning comes second, so it's a kosher eshchita. So he wants to know what's the din over here. What if Liban Shpud Vehika Boy? So which one happened first? Did the hakor make the black and blue mark first, and then the burn came later? Or did the burn come first, and then the black and blue mark came later? Because the din is, mishum shchin nidon or mishum mikvah nidon. Do we treat it, because the din is, whichever came second wins. At first there was a black and blue mark, because they bopped them, they hit him with a baseball bat, and then they burnt the same spot. They burnt the same spot, so since it's a mikvah following a shchin, so it's nidon ki mikvah. And at first they burnt it, and then they gave a clap with a baseball bat, then it's nidon kishchin. Whatever came second wins. So that's the shaila here. Not two things happened. One thing happened. They took a baseball bat, and it's burning hot, and they banged him on his arm, on his leg. So which one happened first? Shaila metzias. Which one happened first? Whichever happened second is what we're going to declare it. Is it mishum shchin nidon? Do we say the klap came second? Or mishum mikvah nidon? L'may nafkamina l'kiritanya. What's the nafkamina? It's not machakira? No, it's all based on this. It's really mishnayis. It's kiddisnan. It's mishnayis in the goyim. Shchina mikvah mitam mishavua echad. Only 1 week. There's no, usually, if it's an eged saras in any other part of the body, so you can have hezgah for more than 1 week. Sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks. But what's over here, the din is only 1 week. B'shnei simanim seir lovan ube pison, you can't have mikvah. Michyas basa chayba says, let's say a person has a negat saras, and he comes to the kohen, and the kohen says he's masgirit. And then, after he's masgirit the nega, then, let's say the nega is so big, so part of the nega, after a while, becomes normal skin color. So you have a negat saras surrounding the part in the middle, which has natural skin color, and the rest of the body has natural skin color. So that's called michyas basa chay baseis, normal skin color. So you're not going to have, by shechina michyah, you're not going to have any din of michyas basa chay. You can't have it, because there was a black and blue marker, they burnt the whole skin, either shechina or michyah. So michyah you can't have. Seir lovan you can have, and pison you can have. Seir lovan means that the hair turned white after the negat saras was there already, that you're machlit based on that. And pisoya means if it grew larger. Let's say the person has this negat saras on his body, keeps on growing, and it takes him a half a year till he finally realizes he has to go ask a kohen. When he comes to the kohen, so the kohen's going to say, well, how did it happen? He says, well, the first week it was so big, then it got bigger. That's not called pisoya. Pisoya means after the kohen was masgirit, then there was pisoya. He didn't come to the kohen until 6 months later. So the kohen is masgirit now, and he puts a mark where it is, and at the end of the week, if it's bigger than it was at the beginning of the week, so that's called pisoyin. So here by shechina mikveh, you can't have michyas basa chai baseis. It's just not going to happen. So you only have two simonim, two ways, usually the three ways to be machlit metzora, either with michyas basa chai, or with pisoyin, that it spread, fasa hanega, or with seol oven. Here there are only two. The basa chai is not going to happen in metzias. So the Mishnah says, Shechina Michvi have the same dinim, only has two simani tume, and it's only Shavu Echad, it is not a second week of Hezgah. Well, Amichil cannot cause, how come there are two different parshias in the Chumash? Lo Mishem, it's tar from the same Zeb. Okay, Vitanya, we have another, Usnan, the first one is the Mishnah, and the second one is the Mishnah. They both shouldn't say Kiditanya, they both say Disnan. Ezo Shechina Vezo Michvi, which is which? Loka Beit, we have him begefes, Bechami Tver, Bechol Dov, Shaloi, Bamach, Masho, Ur. It's not that he burnt his skin. They clapped. He got a clap. Or even if he did burn the skin, but it's chamitveria. Chamitveria is naturally hot water. It's not bidei odom. It's not that it was heated up. That someone it not bidei odom. So b'chol dov shelo ba machmas ha'ur, ur is a fire. Lasui avar meikarei. Let's say a person, they're mining lead from the ground, and it's burning hot. So if a person touches it, Not that someone heated it up. When they mined it, it's burning hot. So zeh v'shchin. That doesn't have the din of mikvah. It wasn't heated up in the oven. Ve'zeh mikvah. When does it have a din of mikvah? Mikvah begachelets, burning coal, or beremetz. Remetz means the also burning coals, the logs that are burning hot. Besidra seach. They were heating b'deodim. They were heating cement. The gabsis reseach. Okay, also cement. V'chol davar habo machmas ha'ur. Something that's burning hot because it was on top of the fire b'deodim. A fire b'deodim. So that has the din. What is that? V'chol davar kol is marbel asuyei chamei ha'ur. Let's say you heated up water. Heat up water, and then someone poured the water on my arm. So that's called a mikvah. It's chamei ha'ur. The water was heated up by the fire. You don't have the fire itself. You have the water that was heated up. So that's a mikvah. V'tanya. Oh, so there's a din of shchin, there's a din of mikvah. And if there's a chatzi gris from one, chatzi gris or the other, one next to the other, they're not mitzvah from yachad. And now there's another din. If on the same spot, first there was a shchin and a mikvah, so it's called mikvah. Whichever comes second is what we declare it. If it's first a mikvah, then a shchin, then we declare it a shchin. Then whatever came second is what we declare it. So here's the shaila, which came first and which came second. V'tanya shchin a mikvah, im shchin kodem le mikvah, bitan le mikvah yis ha-shchin. Since the mikvah came second, so it's called the mikvah. Im mikvah kodem es le shchin, bitan le shchin yis ha-mikvah. Since the shchin came second, so it's called the shchin. So now v'hocha, hechi domi kigom, what's the shaila iboilu who on the fourth line from the top? Leibin Shpud, what's the shaila? Hechidami kigon, the havi bay, chatzi gris shchin meikor. He has a half of a gris. Someone banged his arm with a baseball bat, and he has a black and blue mark over there, and he develops a chatzi gris of menegat zarazde. Chatzi gris is not enough to declare that he's tummy. And right next to that, Leibin Shpud vehikabo. Right next to it, v'nofe be chatzi gris acher. Now he has another chatzi gris. Right, contiguous to the first chatzigris. So the shaila is, but the first chatzigris was on a shchin. So if this will be declared as a shchin, you have a full kigris on a shchin. This will be declared as a mikvah, so the two are not mitzvah from yachad. Shchin and mikvah are not mitzvah from yachad. So the shaila is, which comes first? My. How should we treat it? Do we say, chavot kodim, the klap, came first? V'osi havlan, the burning heat, comes second. Umavatleh l'chavotah, declare it as a mikvah. V'havle shchin and mikvah. One half a gris is on the shchin, one half a gris is on the mikvah, because the mikvah came second. Will I mitzarf him? He can't be mitzarf. Half a gris on the shchin, half a gris on the mikvah. I don't know. When they have the burning hot thing and they bang it on the body, so you have both shchin and mikvah, they don't come simultaneously. Have a look at it. Maybe the burn comes first. Well, see, then the clap. The black and blue mark is going to develop after the burn. So that's the shayla. Which comes first? Shayla mitzias. Which one comes first? If you heated something up and then you bang it, so we don't say you have shchin and mikvah b'vasachas. We assume one happened first, one happened. Which is it? Zogdimar toshma dam rab zeir amashmuel. We don't. How come we don't observe all of the dinim of mitzorah? Let's say a person today has a negasaras. He goes to a skin doctor. He doesn't go to a kohen. How come he doesn't go to a kohen? So some of the Tiferes Yisraelim, Mishnayis talks about it, the beginning of Negoim, and the Chafetz Chaim writes also about it. Chafetz Chaim, I think the Tiferes Yisrael says, there's a possibility that you need Dafka Kohen Miyuchas. We don't have so many Kohanim Miyuchasim today. In order to be Makru Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk says when they built the second Beis HaMikdash in Ezra, in Sefer Ezra it says, many of the Kohanim who were assumed to be Kohanim in Bavel, the families were assumed to be Kohanim for the 7 years in Golas Bavel, wanted to be Makor Karbonis in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. So Ezra asked them, do you have a Ksav Yichas? Do you have a record of who your father married, who your grandfather married, all the way back to someone who was Makor Karbonis in the Bais Rishon? So it says, Abikshu Ksavim HaMasyachsim V'lo Matzo'o. Many of them searched for Ksav Yichas they couldn't find. They were rejected from being makor kabbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. You need dafke a kohen miyuchas, a special din makrobis kabbonis. There's no such din to duchen. You don't need a kohen miyuchas. You don't get the first aliyah to do pidyon aden. You don't need a kohen miyuchas to eat truma. You don't need a kohen miyuchas. A special din makrobis kabbonis in the Beis Hamikdash. Where does it say in the Chumash? Where does it come from? So that was Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had the chiddush. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a
He wanted to bring back the Kavanis to Israel. Right,
he was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveg. He was a Yekke. Rabbi Kiveg lived in Germany. He was a Yekke. And he had this idea, we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in Makor of Kabbalah. He didn't realize he was never there. He didn't realize there's a mosque in the Makor HaMikdash. And the Arabs are not going to let us. Rabbi Kiveg was also a holy tzaddik. And he also thought we should, he thought it was a good idea. And he sent a letter to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer was his son-in-law of Rabbi Kiveg. The Chassam Sofer had three wives. The first wife died. The second wife was a daughter of Rabbi Kiveg. She died also. He had children from all the wives. Then he married a third wife. So he was 1 year younger than his father-in-law. Chassam Sofer was only 1 year younger than Rabbi Kiveg. So Rabbi Kiveg knew that the Chassam Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt, and he knew the Rothschild family from Frankfurt. And the Rothschild family used to lend money to all the kings in the world. They were so rich. So Rabbi Kiveg sent a letter to Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Kiveg lived in Germany. Chassam Sofer at that time, Chassam Sofer was a Yekut too. He always signs off Moshe HaKotami Frankfurt. He was born in Frankfurt, brought up in Frankfurt, but he had a Rabbanus in Hungary, in Presburg. So Rabbi Kiveg sent a letter to the son-in-law, maybe you can impress upon the Rothschild family, you know them from Frankfurt, maybe you should impress upon them. They lend money to all the sheikhs and all the Arab princes and so on. You should impress upon them, they should let us make a mizbech and bring the Korban Pesach. So he sent him back a letter, my dear father-in-law, you live in Chalom as well. They're not going to let you walk anywhere near the Makom HaMikdash. There's a mosque there, they won't let any Jews go, there's nothing to discuss. Don't waste your time, don't waste your breath, there's nothing to discuss. So this Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalish also, he lived in the Chalai Mizrach. They didn't realize.
He wanted to build a bomb instead.
But no.
He can't be a Korban Pesach on the bomb.
No, he wanted to. There's a machlokes whether the Makom HaMikdash is Kitcha Lasi Lava. So if Kitcha Lasi Lava, he just build the Mizbech where it's supposed to be. And if Loi Kitcha Lasi Lava, so build a bomb where the Mizbech is supposed to be, so it'll be the Mizbech or it'll be a bomb. So Imanam Shach, it'll be good. That's what he wanted to do. Right, that was the taina against him. So he thought, you build a mizbech where the mizbech used to be, either it'll be a boma or it'll be a mizbech some imanim shach. And he said, we should bring Korban Pesach. Can't bring a Korban Pesach on a boma. That's a problem, right? So this was his suggestion. We should make a Beis HaMikdash and build a mizbech and bring Korbanos, bring the Korban Pesach. But you have to have Kohen Miyuchas. So he came up with the Chiddush that Kohen Miyuchas has only a Chumrim and the Rabbanon that was introduced by Ezra, has no Mokrim and Chumash at all. Chumrah mid Rabbanon, and the Chumrah was only introduced Hecha de'efsher, if it's possible to bring all the Karbanis with Kohanim Yechosim. But Bizman Hazeh, we hardly have any Kohanim Yechosim. So because of the Chumrah mid Rabbanon, you'll do away with all Akrovas on Karbanis. That was his Chiddush. Rabbi Kiveger accepted it, and the Chassam Sofer accepted it. They both, from that time on, in the halachic literature, it's assumed Kohanim today, Avare Kohanim. For many generations, it was assumed that a Kohen who's not a Kohen Miyuchas, Kohen Chazokeh, a Sofik Kohanim. We're not sure if they're Kohanim, and that's why they're not allowed to be Makor Korbanos. So it doesn't make sense. How do you say Bracha and Pidyon HaBen if they're Sofik Kohanim? How are they allowed to eat Truma if they're only Sofik Kohanim? So he says the whole thing is wrong. They're not, they're Vade Kohanim. Kohen Chazokeh, a Vade Kohanim. It's a Chumr mid the Rabbanon not to let them be Makor Korbanos. And the Chumr was only introduced Echad Epsher. And Rabbi Kiveger and Chassam Sofer will both mask him to that. Yeah. So that's what the Tiferes Yisrael and Mishnayos raises the possibility. Maybe just like you need a Kohen Miyuchas to be Makor Karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe you need a Kohen Miyuchas to be Royas Hanigoy. Echeteise. The whole thing is a Chumrim in the Rabbanon by Akrobos HaKarbonis. Why should you say over there? The Chavetz Chaim quotes a different teretz from earlier Svarim. The Chavetz Chaim wrote a lot about Lashon Hara. That was a whole life's campaign to fight against Lashon Hara. Didn't, not too successful. No. His Mishnah Berurah was not his life's campaign. And he's more successful with the Mishnah Berurah than with the Lashon Hara campaign. So he says, maybe the reason why we, quotes Achrayim, maybe the reason why we don't have a Kohen declare that it's a Neged Tzaras, because he won't be able to kriech out of it. If the Neged Tzaras will disappear, he can only complete the Tahara procedure if he brings Karbanis in the Beis HaMikdash. If no Beis HaMikdash, no Karbanis, going to declare a person as a Mitzayra, he'll be stuck for the rest of his life. He won't be able to become Tahar. So maybe we don't get involved in the first place. Because Tumat Tzaras is the only Tumat that doesn't happen by itself. You don't say he has a Neged Tzaras, automatically he's Tomei. You need a Psak HaKoyin to make him Tomei. Tomei. He doesn't become Tomei by himself. Anyway, so Bizman HaZeh, for some reason or another, we don't have Rias Negoim. We don't show it to the Kohen. Then the Chavetz Chaim wants to say, maybe the whole thing is Maybe the whole union of tzaras is a nes min hashamayim. It doesn't really correspond to any sickness that we're aware of. So maybe bizman hazeh we don't have any nisim. There's no beis hamikdash. Maybe there is no negat tzaras today. There's leprosy. There are other things, but this is not leprosy. It's some kind of a miracle. So maybe the miracle people have discoloration on the skin, the color of white negat tzaras. Maybe it's not a negat tzaras. Maybe that's why we don't, because the miracle doesn't happen bizman hazeh. It's a question. Why we don't have rias negoyim bizman hazeh? So the Gemara says, Toshma, what's the din in this case? Dom Rab Zeir Amashmuel, Liben Sak Meshach Bashchitosik Shechidu, the Kum Lilibudim. It just said on the top line, if you have a burning hot knife, so we assume that it cuts first and it burns second. So the same, if they clap you over here, so you assume the clap is going to come first and the burn is going to come second, so it's a michva. The michva follows the shchin as it did. So the Gemara says, not necessarily a proof. Alma, what is Chavotik? What do you see? Alma chavot kodem. You see that the klap comes first. Gemara says no. Maybe chidut shiny. Chidut is because you're cutting with it. It's a sharp knife. You're cutting, and maybe cutting comes before the burning. But if you clap the guy, maybe the burning precedes the klap, the black and blue mark. It's not a proof from what he said before. Then Gemara says vayt the toshma. Here's a beferish brisa liben shpud vehika bo. You hit the guy. You burnt a baseball bat. And you bang the guy on the leg, you bang it on the arm, says, Nidum shum michvas eish. Why? Al machavot tekodim. You see that the klap comes first. First you have a black and blue mark, and only afterwards does it burn. So it's beferish, that's exactly what the shayla was. Beferish, Gemara says, maybe that brisa doesn't mean the way it sounds. Hasam nami, the barze mivriz, the hainu chidud. Maybe the brisa only applies if they stuck it into his skin. So then we say, like chidud the kodem lo libuna, the haino chidud, bars and mirrors, if they stuck it in, so then the sharpness affects them first, and then the burn comes later. Chidud the kodem lo libuna, but if they would clap it, we still don't know. Maybe the burn comes first, and the black and blue mark comes later, so we don't know. So that's a footnote here. They started, the top line started with Hilchas Shechita, and then they had the whole footnote over here about the Hilchas Tumas Taras. Okay. We'll stop here. This week's Sedra, we have the dinim of kashrus to determine which fish are kosher, which animals are kosher, which birds are kosher, and the Torah says hivdaltem beramei matara latmeo is a mitzvah havdolah. So the Rambam counts this in the Sefer Mitzvahs. What is the mitzvah of hivdaltem? What does it mean? So the Rambam says livdok b'simonei, when you want to eat an animal. So you have to check to see if it's malagerma for his parsi. You want to eat a fish, you have to check to see if it has snapa v'kaskesis. And if you want to eat a bird, you have to check to see if it has the simonim of the birds. The Chumash doesn't say what the simonim are. The Chumash just gives you a list of all the non-kosher birds, and everything else is assumed to be kosher. And the Tanaim and the Mishnah and the other treifas give you what the simonim are. How to determine whether any given bird is kosher or treif. So the Rambam says that that's a mitzvah libdak b'simonim. So the Achrayim say it's taka mitzvah. Livdak, let's say a shoychet is about to shecht a cow in the slaughterhouse. He's going to shecht a bull or a calf or whatever. So he has to look on the feet to see if it's mafris parsa. He has to stand it to see if it's malagera. He has to spend 10 minutes to see if the animal is malagera. Or somebody has to spend 10 minutes. Not to shoychet. Somebody has to spend 10 minutes. So the Dark Yitshuva by the Munkacha says, you look at the animal, I know it's a calf. I know it's a cow. If you know what it is, you don't have to check to see money. It means if I don't know what it is, I don't know what the animal is, so then you have to check to see money. So what do you need the mitzvah hivdaltem? If you don't know what it is, it's fake the rice of the, and maybe a tray for fish. So the answer is no. The Rivosh has a famous tshuva. The Rivosh says no. We're talking, this is off the west coast of Alaska, and we know that there are only tuna fish here. There are only gefilte fish, whatever kind of a fish it is. We know only kosher fish over here. The ruba, the roiv is, they're only kosher fish. Or this is a jungle, they're only kosher animals over here. Very rare. So the din should have been, you have a right to go, bas a roiv. So that's what the Rambam has a pasuk. The hivdaltem is a mitzvah, livdek b'simonim, not to go bas a roiv. And if you'll eat it without checking the simonim, and later on it'll turn out, after you eat it, then you'll check and it'll turn out that it was a kosher fish. So you didn't violate the aver of eating non-kosher fish, but you violated the mitzvah of the hivdaltem. There's still a mitzvah of the hivdaltem. So that's what Rabbi Pesach Frank has a tshuva. He discusses how strong a roiv does it have to be that you're not mechuyev to check. Let's say it's a roiv 1,000 to 1. The odds are 1,000 to 1 that it's going to be a kosher fish. It's still a mitzvah. Maybe the mitzvah only applies if it's a miyot hamotzui. If it's a 10% chance that it's going to be a non-kosher fish, so then the din should be minator, you go baser roiv. See, there's a mitzvah, they have daltim to be bodig b'simon. But if it's only 1% chance, if it's a 1/10% chance, also there must be a limit. Mistabed that there's some kind of a limit over here. So that's the Rivosh has like that. This mitzvah, they have daltim, has a limit. Years ago, some of the rabbanim were tumbling about the tuna fish. So they said, how can you eat the canned tuna fish? No one checks the snap of the kaskesis. It's a mitzvah of the hivdaltem. You have to be bodik the snap of the kaskesis. So the pashta says, we know that it's tuna fish. They check it 1,000 times over. When the fishermen are catching it in the ocean, they know when they're going to come back to the dry land. If it's not a tuna fish, they're not going to buy it from them. So whatever's not a tuna fish, either they throw it back into the ocean or they eat it up themselves on the boat. They're not going to bring it back. Then when they bring it, then the companies buy it from them, so they check to make sure that everything is tuna fish. Then before they cut it up, they check a second time. Then after they packaged it, they open up every 200 cans, every 200, every 300 cans, they open up a can to make sure that it's a tuna fish. They check every fish 5 times, and they never found that any other fish gets mixed in. So such a strong, if you know that it's a tuna fish, then the whole din of B'dikas Simanim doesn't apply. The whole halacha of B'dikas Simanim only applies if you don't know what the fish is. If you know that this is a tuna fish, you can't say that you always have to be bodik b'siman. The Dr. Chuvatainas Rashi quotes on the Chumash in this week's Parsha. It says, "Kol she'ele lo snape v'kaskeses b'mayim." So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Eilat Treifus. There are fish that have scales, but the minute you're about to take them out of the water, all the scales fall off. So once you take it out, how do you know that? How can you do bodik b'siman? The answer is, we already know that tuna fish have fins and scales. So once I know this is a tuna fish, I don't have to be biting for this iman. And we know these are tuna fish. Right. We know because they check it so many times over. We know it's about those. We know where they fish over there. There are only tuna fish over there. And then the sailor checked. And then the company checked. And the people cutting it up checked. And the people the packager checked. They kept on checking for business purposes. They checked to make sure that it's tuna fish. Shouldn't be something else. So whenever you know what it is, then there's no mitzvah b'dika simon. Amen. 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 Amen.